What's up, everybody? Mike Caluzzi here, and I am the host of Pro Tips to Grow Your Business. It's a business podcast, and I am a business coach who works with entrepreneurs, business owners, and professionals to help them through business transactions so they could do it with clarity and confidence and eliminate frustration and overwhelm in the process. You can find me at mikecaluzzi.com, M-I-K-E-C-O-L-U-Z-Z-I, or you can shoot me an email at mike@mikecaluzzi.com, and we can set up a time so we could talk and see how I may be able to help you with your business. So today, I am very happy to announce that I have Sean Harper as my guest. Sean is a high energy, like a force of nature, okay? He's widely known for his unconventional ways, okay? And he is on this earth to really help inspire you to understand that you could do things beyond whatever but he says, or whatever obstacles you think are there. Sean has an amazing background and a career. He was served in the NFL for 7 years as a tackle. So I'm sure he'll get into a little bit of that and all those life lessons that he learned and being and performing at the highest stages of the world. He has helped thousands of people transform to rise success in the corporate world now, okay, through his leadership and his team trainings. And he delivers high energy keynote speeches that will activate the winning spirit in you. And he is here today to discuss topics around creating winning business environments, team building, and the culture of winning in the workplace. You can find Sean at www.SeanHarper.org. And you can also find him on social media at Sean Harper Speaks or on LinkedIn at Sean Harper 75. I'll have all those links in the comments below, and you'll have an opportunity to reach out to Sean and see how he can help you to create a winning spirit on your team. So Sean, welcome.
Hey, welcome. I have to apologize up front. This is not an excuse. This is an explanation. If you see the actual frequent yawns, on there, I had some serious dental work done today. And I'm thinking, it's not going to be a big deal. This deep clean, this and that, and feelings. But boy, I tell you, this bad boy. I mean, I am feeling it. But you know what? Let's just go. Let's win.
Boy.
Yeah. Oh, no, who cares? You know what? Let's just knock it out. I just want, if you see me yawn, you know what's going on. Okay.
All right. Well, as long as you don't fall asleep on us, because I'm telling you, it's high energy.
Hey, I'm not going to fall asleep. Let's go.
Now, are you numb? Are you numb on top of it? So if you take a drink, it's going to fall down off your face?
Probably. That's why I'm not drinking nothing right now. I'm just sitting here like, let's go.
That's hysterical, man. Well, I mean, that leads right into what you do, right? I mean, rising past adversity, showing up even though you're feeling like crap, or you had some things happen, that came out of left field.
Yes. Showing up is a large part of the battle for an actual entrepreneur. So you're out there, and the actual, I consider it actual, but the amazing part of that is that an entrepreneur, business owner, it's not like swimming in the swimming pool. It's like swimming in the ocean. And it takes a different type of swim, a different type of tread. Sometimes you tread water, sometimes you do backstrokes. Sometimes you just swim against the current. You got to see the waves and the discernment you have to have as an actual, as that entrepreneur is just off the charts. Let me give you an example. You need to know the difference between a dolphin and a shark, maybe 100 yards away, 5 yards away, it's too late. You have to understand waves. You have to understand currents, and everything is always moving, and being able to move with the crowd, being able to move against the crowd, being able to move for the crowd and on the benefit of the crowd is huge as that actual entrepreneur. It is a unique skill set that is developed over time. And as you just mentioned, one of the key ingredients to that is tenacity, stick-to-itiveness, fight through adversity. Adversity can break you, but it also can make you a record breaker. So let's go, let's win.
I love it. And you make a great point. And, I was actually talking to a buddy of mine who today, who is has an amazing career as a chef, and he's also a boat captain. So what he does is he travels all over the world, okay, and he takes these people on these amazing excursions, and then as they're catching the fish, right, he creates this amazing meal like on the spot, and he has been doing this for like decades, and we're going to be doing some stuff down here where I live. And I said, you know, Len, his name's Lenny Strobel. So shout out to Lenny. So, but Lenny, I said, you know what, Len, people, you know, you see the videos of you in these amazing places preparing these meals and just, you know, just demonstrating the joy of doing what you love, mm-hmm. but the amount of work it takes to make that a reality.
Yes.
Right. Yes. And I think a lot of times when people are in their job and they're in the situations where they're griping or they're pissed off or this or that, or they're dreaming about something else, you know, it's how to put it all into context so that you recognize that, you know, you have to really embrace the process, the craft, fall in love with the work that's associated with the ultimate reward. Because if you do it really just chasing the pure reward, 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 that's when burnout comes in. That's where the loss of ego comes in, you know, and I'm sure in your world, I mean, coming from such an interesting background as a guy who, like I said, I mean, you played on the biggest stages, man, and as an NFL player, tell us about, you know, that journey and how you've had to kind of come to those realizations, which you talked about, you know, how to survive and have that situational awareness and just get through things that may not have, you know, kind of shown up the exact way you thought they were.
So let me back up just a little bit, because you bring up a very interesting point, very powerful point. And that point is that people see the glory, but they don't see the story. And people get so caught up in the glory that they forget the story. Mm. Especially when it comes to social media. I mean, we're, you know, likes, and you're seeing these people, I'm doing this and I'm 7 figures, I'm 8 figures, I'm on TikTok, I'm on Instagram, look at me, blah, they have no idea. And let me tell you, I talk to some of these people. Mm-hmm. You know, I talk to them one-on-one in private, you know, as a confidant. These people are struggling still. Some people are suicidal. And now you're taking that, what you're seeing, and you're making that the gauge, that the reality. Now that sets you up for depression. That sets you up for, you know, self-hatred, and the list goes on and on. Coupled by the fact that it's not okay to lose. It's, you know, you got 4, 5, 6 year olds, you know, they're out there playing, and at the end of the game, you know, oh, let's all run through the tunnel and, you know, everyone's a winner and blah, blah, blah. And then when these kids are faced with adversity, is faced with pain, you know, faced with rejection, faced with a heartbreak, there, it's not been developed. That rejection muscle has not been developed. So guess what? They don't try things new. They stay in their comfort zones. They want to be peaceful. Peaceful is the norm. You know, you just grace and just harmony is the norm. And when you're outside of that, something must be wrong with you. And that's not the case. Whenever it's time to grow, whenever you step out of your comfort zone, baby, here comes the pain. Here comes the pressure to push you back in. And when you're able to push against that, and when you're able to fight against that, you kind of extract power from the force. You kind of pull from that, and you become stronger. You become faster. You become quicker. Now, to answer your question about, you know, learning how to fight through that, as far as sports, a large portion of that, the biggest portion of that is mental, of having a short memory, right? So you are a defensive back, and the game is on the line and the guy burns you for a touchdown. You have to shed that. You know, game's over. Everyone hates you for the week. You're hated, okay, for the week. The next team next week, they're going to try you. They're coming right after you. And you have to shed that. The same thing with a kicker who maybe he misses the game-winning field goal, okay, in the championship game. And this guy has to go to class the next day, or he has to, you know, hang out in the subdivision the next day. And his kids are like, daddy, you know, everyone hates you at school. You know, you got to shed that. And then flip it when you've had a great success. You've done wonderful things. You're at a high level and you're like, wow, wow, wow. You know, everyone loves you. Everyone's worshiping you. You got to shed that. You got to go to the right, experience the joy and the admiration and the autographs, then come back to center. You got to go to the left, learn the lessons, fight through all the rejection, the pain, the criticisms on TV, and, you know, the sportscasters ripping you, you know, you're horrible, you suck, all the chat logs, and come back to center. You got to take it and live in the center. That's the same way with sports and the same thing as an entrepreneur, because the phone rings. The phone rings from employees. The phone rings from clients, potential clients, litigation. You got to fight for the middle, fight for the center. Because when you start making decisions, either from the far right or from the far left, non-political here, far right, far left, then all of a sudden your decisions are off. Check it out. One suggestion that I would leave, and I heard this was really powerful, is that when you're in a situation, when you're incapacitated mentally, there needs to be somebody who you can call. And that individual has the capacity to make decisions on your behalf until you get your footing. It's very dangerous to make decisions under duress. And the higher you go, the less decisions you need to make.
All right. Now that's very powerful. I think that's one of the big things that that's why I think business coaches and mentors and advisors are so important, because I say, you know, you, if you're climbing up that ladder and your perception of how things should be don't match up to the circumstances, you need that objective feedback, that right. Little bit of that empathy, you know, the objectivity, the awareness, and the knowledge base to be able to, like you said, come back to that center.
Let me give you an example from an athletic perspective of an athlete not having somebody that's balanced in his or her life. Let me give you an example of an athlete not having balance in his life or her life. So let's take a collegiate athlete or a professional athlete. Everyone around him, oh, we love you. You're amazing. Reading the press. Oh, I love your press. Oh, you're this and you're that. And as we say in sports, you're not able to take off the helmet, right? Because you, when you take the helmet off, that's when you come back to reality. But when you have the helmet on, you're still on the court, you know, mm-hmm. You're still in the game and everyone's loving you. And you got 100,000 people screaming your name, right? And now what's happened is that you're making decisions with your helmet on and you're not in the game because you still think that you're in the game. So guess what? You think you're going to get away with that drunk driving. You think you can get away with driving 130 miles down the interstate. You think that you can get away with, you know, saying something that is dishonorable or disrespected to the opposite sex, or you're going to get favors. You still think the helmet's on. And then one day you're in trouble and you're forced to take the helmet off. And you're like, how far have I digressed? Have I transgressed? Why? Because you didn't have someone around you saying, hey, 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 take off that helmet. It's time to be a father. It's time to be a husband. It's time to be a man or a woman. You always, when you enter that and that adrenaline is high, you have to have balance or someone to help create the balance for you.
So do you find in your work, you know, the folks that you find yourself working with, are they more along the lines of leaders who may be, so to speak, kind of keeping the helmet on, and where you have to say, hey, look, you know, you have to get realigned here with respect to your values or your focus. I mean, who is it that you seem to gravitate towards when, I mean, I know for me, I could be having a conversation with somebody and very quickly I could start not judging, but making assessments. I just find myself doing it. It's like breathing at this point. I could just say, okay, I could see where this person may be, you know, requiring some outside perspective because they seem to be falling into certain categories. What do you see in your, you know, as you and your current state as a, you know, as a business executive coach and as a speaker and dealing with people on the corporate levels, what, how do you kind of spot that person to say, hey, you know what, that's a guy or a woman who I know I could help?
People who are stuck with their goals, teams, and dreams. That's what I do. And oftentimes they are stuck because they are stuck, right? And they are having a struggle externally because they're having a struggle internally. That they're stuck. You have to get unlocked, okay? Because very seldom will your business grow past you unless you are humble enough to push it past you. And that takes trust, because you have to trust people with your vision. You have to trust people with, say, hey, go run with it. Let me sit back. Okay, because this is where I'm at. But you always have to, as Mr. Maxwell says, you always have to raise the lid, lift the lid. You got to push the lid. You got to push the lid and always grow. And what happens is a lot of entrepreneurs, they get caught in their, you know, their little rut, and they're like, okay, I'm cool. This is where we're going. This is the, you know, here's the projections, here's the trajectory. And I, you know, and I'm like, dude, you know, all of that is based off of what you see. Let me tell you what I see. And let me tell you what the potential, what I see is. Okay. So now let's push towards that. Let's push this company past you. Let's make you uncomfortable. Let's get you in the 212. What I mean by 212 is water is water at 211 degrees. At 212 degrees, water boils. Boiling water has changed the world. The challenge is that most people can't get into the 212. Most people, as unless there's a severe traumatic experience and they make a declaration in the midst of pain or excitement, it's really hard to get into the 212. But now you got to bring a coach, and a coach, with, for the lack of a better term, either talks, coerces, or kicks your butt and pushes you in the 212. That's what the coach's job is, to push you past you, to get you out your comfort zone. Because if you're not careful, your comfort zone will become your casket.
Mm. So who has served in your life as the touchstone mentors and coaches that are standouts, to say, you know what, these people, as I look back, they've been, you know, keystones.
So for years I had my father, and he worked with our security firm. I have over 100 employees, and my father was just there. He was just like no nonsense, you know, everything from showing up, dress, shoes, mindset, everything, right? But he passed a few years back. So I actually hired, I have a coach. And this coach is not impressed with me, period. They're like, okay, like, listen, before I had my coach, I had like one book out, right? I had one book, The Winning Edge. I got my coach now. I have three more books in like 2 months. They're done. And the coach is like, I'm still not impressed. Let's go. I'm like, no room for breathing. Coach has me on a daggone, almost a vegan diet now. I'm just like, what in God's name? What are you doing? They're like, shut up. Get it done. I'm like, okay. So who is that person? Who is that person that's going to call you out on your stuff? Who's that person who's going to challenge you? In the Bible, I'm a Christian. In the Bible, every king had a priest. And the priest never sat at the table, which means the priest is not on the payroll. The priest is not impressed. The priest doesn't set appointments with your meeting planner, your executive secretary. The priest comes to you, rings your phone anytime, and say, hey, we need to talk. I looked at the numbers. We need to have a conversation. That's what every CEO needs. Because there's so many yes people all around you, right? There's some yes people, yes.
Yeah.
You know, and listen, that has a purpose. I mean, think about it. Why do athletes have groupies? Now, we all know what groupies are. And athletes have entourages from their hometown. And stars, they have entourages. And politicians, you need that. On those moments when you're just down and out as a CEO or whatever, whether it's you didn't make your numbers or you didn't make payroll, right? You need that. You need that person to come alongside you like a believe in you. Let's go. Let's go. You need that. But you also need somebody to just, hey, let's here's the truth. This is where we have to go. And you're not being, you have a low level of integrity to your goals and words because I don't see you trying. Let's go. Mm.
So that's interesting. So let me not like shifting gears a little bit and kind of getting back to the transitional side of things. How was it for you, going through that transition where, you know, if you're, you know, obviously to dedicate your life to make it to the NFL and serve there for seven seasons, and then of course have an ongoing career in sports. But when was it, and how was it for you to have that moment where you're like, okay, I have to shift my identity now so that I could actually move forward and no longer live in the past, so to speak, or the identity of, hey, I am, you know, this versus living in your potential.
So what I want to say is going to seem to contradict it itself, but just take it, chew on the meat and spit out the bone. Okay. Sometimes it's not yes and no. It could be no and yes at the same time. Right. So I just need you to understand, success doesn't follow you. What I mean by that is if you want to get to a certain level, then you have to become the individual that the certain level will rest upon. You have to become that person. Okay. And so, if I want $100 million, I don't have $100 million, right? But if I want $100 million, hold on. I have to become that person who is disciplined, who is shrewd, who is faithful over the little. I have to become it's okay. I have to become that person. And that's tough for a lot of people because they're trying to bring their wins into their current environment. So I mentioned to you that my coach, and you know, it's not even in their wheelhouse to talk about my weight, right? But they're like, look, you're not playing football no more. So why are you carrying all this weight? Like it's like you are still there. You gotta move. You gotta move now. Because you're 50 plus, buddy. You carrying that weight. It's going to hurt you in a few years. You're not that guy no more. Now you are this guy. Become that guy, right? Now here's the kind of contradicts. One of the toughest transitions that I've ever been involved with in most athletes is once the game's over. It's tough. It is tough. Football is all-encompassing. You know, it's tough to make that transition. So what I did was I stripped away the essence of the game, and the essence of the game is winning. And so my whole approach is winning. It's not success. You know, success is a man-made construct. It doesn't exist. You've been called to win. You've not been called to be successful. You are one of several million or 100 million sperm cells. You are born a winner. This is why you spend so much watching football, and that you'll never throw away your favorite jersey, but you won't wear it when your team goes 0-16. You won't wear that jersey because you can't identify with losing. You only identify with winning, which is why gaming is so huge. Like my son will play games, video games. I get off those games. It drives me crazy, right? Which is why the number one vacation spot on the planet Earth is built around winning. Vegas is number one on earth. Hmm. And it's not even marketed to kids. I mean, they try, but it's not really marketed to kids. Why is that? It's because it's built around winning. Success, they stripped that. They said around the third or fourth grade, about the time you realize Santa Claus is not real, right? They introduced another concept. The concept's called success. And now you lose because they define what success is. Wealth, popularity, now it's likes on social media, what you drive, that's now you are successful. Winning is the fullest expression of who you are mentally, socially, emotionally, okay? Financially, obviously, and legacy. You can win. You've been created to win. Now, that gives you your perspective. That fuels your why. We talk about the why, but under the why is the win. Okay, under the why is who you are. Maxwell Maltz, Psycho-Cybernetics, talks about your self-concept. Who are you? So now, to answer your question, I'm bringing that win mindset, the win, into this, into corporate America. And so I'm looking at things totally different. I evaluate things totally different. If one group wins over here, we all win. If one group fails, we all fail. Because that's how it was in sports. So now that fosters teamwork at a whole new level. That fosters leadership at a whole new level. It's not a narcissistic, myopic success. It's about the win.
That's very interesting. And then that's a very interesting perspective. I really like that idea where you're putting that above all else and understanding that you are allowed to adapt and change who you are. To just adopt that a winning mindset and not define it based upon quote unquote the construct of success that we all have bought into, which I think also is really important relative to why so many of us do wind up hitting certain objective benchmarks of success that are considered success, but really wind up coming up very empty. It's the guy who's driving the, you know, and no disrespect to the people who, you know, gravitate towards utilizing some objective benchmark to you know that they bring that brings them joy, but to identify it as symbols of success, that's a different story. So if you're driving the, you know, the vehicle or whatever else on the basis of it as it's defining you as a successful person, as opposed to hey, I really enjoy this and I deserve this as part of my overall winning strategy towards life, then that's a different story.
Right.
Is that a good way of analogizing?
No. I got it. And you basically hit the nail on the head. Yeah. The thing is that a lot of CEOs, a lot of leaders, they're empty because they've been taught to produce. But to win, you not only produce, you reproduce. There's a difference. It comes
Go.
It's fine.
But how do you then, I mean, in my mind, I mean, how, in working with folks, do you feel that people's their ideology associated with integrity, right? Wherein, you know, where sometimes I think people who use the statement, oh, well, don't take it personal, it's business. They use that as basically kind of like as an umbrella policy to basically forgive themselves or remove themselves from personal accountability and operating at the highest level of integrity, right?
And that right there, listen. Man, you bring up a very good point, because what happens is that somewhere in your psyche, you know that you're wrong. And somewhere in your psyche, your body will begin to punish yourself. You'll begin to hold that in. This is why a lot of high level people who've done some things to get to the top, or you know what, they have drug issues, depression issues, and a lot of social issues, diseases, because your body knows. I mean, I don't care how shrewd you think you are, or whatever, your body knows. Your body knows this is wrong. I've seen one individual who was a very high powered attorney. Very, very high powered attorney. And I'm sitting there and I'm talking to him. And over the course of 1 hour, you know, I mean, this guy had like, I'm not gonna go into it, but yeah, you could tell that there was a major issue in that, you know, in his life. Something is paying. Their body is paying. Their legacy is paying. Speaking of legacy, see, when I talk about winning, when I talk about winning in your relationships, as well as winning financially, oftentimes your family pays. Your family pays. And in the younger days, you know, I've been married for almost 23 years. In the younger days, my family paid. My wife paid. She paid dearly for that. for that drive. Cause I'm like, let's go, you know, until I had to really, you know, huddle. Winning is a part of family too. Winning is a part of health, almost vegan, right? Winning is a part of finances, yeah, but winning is also a part of how much you give back. Because I'm going to tell you something, 100 years from now, everybody listening to this podcast is gone.
Right.
What is your legacy?
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, let me ask you this. So as you're, when you, what's your personal style when obviously you are, physical, you know, you're a big dude. I mean, what are you, 6'4"? How tall are you?
Yeah, I'm 6'4". I'm like
6'4". So you're what you call an imposing force, right? Yeah. So putting that aside for the moment, when you are in a conversation and you, like I said a few minutes ago, your intuitive sense or your experienced brain says this guy or this girl is completely, this person needs help or they're totally misaligned with, you know, really where, let's just say the better course of action should be. What's your approach? How do you bring it up in a way? Because I have a tendency to be able to do it in a way where I'm empathetic, but I'm direct. Like, what's your style as far as how you bring these, your level of awareness to the forefront of somebody whom you feel that you can help?
Everyone's different. It is as fluid as the water in a stream. It is that fluid. It is that fluid. And there are people in certain temperaments and they like to have, here's the formula. This is how it is. This is how it is. This is how it is. And, you know, this is the cookie cutter approach. And with me, it is very, very, very fluid. If you push hard, I might back up. I'm not quitting. I'm about to come at you at another angle. But it's that fluid. The same way when I speak, because, you know, I've been speaking for over 20 years. And I can come a certain way. And everyone's like, okay, that's great. But guess what? If I get resistance and I can feel resistance, then I can literally mid-sentence change the entire program. But at the end, when my hour is up, I'm going to get my point across and you're going to receive it. So guess what? In my toolbox, I have a chainsaw and I have a scalpel. You're going to get cut.
Right. It's coming.
That's it's coming. So cool. It's coming.
So guys, I mean, if you've been tuning and listening, hopefully you're getting some really cool value and some great insight from Sean Harper today. He is somebody who works in primarily corporate environments to help people to establish and develop a winning mindset, help them to achieve their goals, and really adapt a team that's unified, utilizing an ideal of winning that incorporates all elements of a person's life,
yes,
so that they can really all optimize their highest and best use, which I like to call it. So you could check him out at seanharper.org. That's seanharper.org, which again, I will post, probably will be right here as I'm saying it. So guys, check it out. He has a really interesting backdrop. You know, he's a larger than life character, but you could see these are all well-rooted levels of experience that he is. I call it hard earned wisdom.
Yeah. Because a lot of what it takes to win is not in your books and it's not in the universities. Okay. So, but also I have something for your audience. If you go to seanharper.co, but you got to type www. right? www.seanharper.co, you'll get a free copy of that book. Nice. Just right there. It's called The Winner's Edge. And I came up with that because I realized that there were a lot of unconventional techniques, methodologies, and strategies that I used that most corporate leaders don't use because they're not taught, you know, certain laws. Like, I break rules. Don't tell nobody, but I break rules. But I never break laws, not just the laws of the land, but I don't break spiritual laws. Because if you break spiritual laws, laws will break you.
Give us an example of something like that. I think it's a great, great point.
So oftentimes when you are overstressed or when your office or when your company and everyone's stressed out, that is a capacity issue. That's either a process issue or it's a capacity issue. Oftentimes you need to adjust your capacity. The quick story, a guy named Walt Disney, right? So Walt Disney had Disneyland, but he had a bigger dream than Disneyland, and all the hotels and the development land locked him in. So he secretly went to, it was either between St. Louis or Orlando, but he went to Orlando and he opened up, you know, several shell companies, and he brought 28,000 acres. No one knew it was him till it was too late. Like, oh, this is Walt Disney, but it was too late. He owns thousands of acres. And if I'm not mistaken, there's land that's not been developed yet. He still owns that land where he can build on capacity. Oftentimes we have great dreams, great goals, great visions, but the capacity of the office is limited. And believe it or not, that's a spiritual signal to stump your growth, or worse, the opportunity will come and you don't have the capacity for it. You can't take on new jobs. You can't take on new opportunities. You always got to build capacity. So when you build a skyscraper, before you build up, you build down.
Well, this has been a lot of fun, and I love your perspective and your energy, and I can understand why, and you're successful in your business. You're successful as a speaker, and you've endured a long career, which is great. So I want to say thank you for joining us today, and I really appreciate you taking the time. Guys, again, we are here with Sean Harper. He has offered graciously to anyone who's listening to get a free copy of his book, The Winner's Edge. If you were to go to www.seanharper.org. And you know, if you want to shoot him an email, tell him that you listen to the podcast. Sean, what's your email? What's the best number for them, or best way for people to get a hold of?
Yeah. It's a Sean, S-H-A-W-N, Sean at SeanSpeaks.com.
Sean, thank you so much, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
All right.